Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sports Invasion NFL Playoff Podcast. It's finally time for the conference championships. We are down to the final four, and it's pretty much the final four that I think we all expected. This is Kevin Taylor, and I'm here to break down these two games and also take a look back at some of last week's action, giving you my prediction for who I think will be in the Super Bowl. The first game on Sunday is New England at Denver, with Denver being 4-point favorites. Let's take a quick look back at last week. Denver really dominated San Diego 24-17 in a game that final score really doesn't clarify how badly Denver really dominated this team. The Chargers had 0 points going into the fourth quarter, and then they finally were able to string together some passes when Quentin Jammer was torched by Keenan Allen on a few plays. But if you look at Peyton Manning, what he did last week, he was really impressive. One of the best games he's had all year. 25 of 36 for 230 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. But those stats are really kind of skewed when you consider that the Broncos were up 14-0, driving at the end of the first half. And on one of the final plays of the half, Peyton threw a beautiful pass to, I believe it was Eric Decker, and he bobbled it up in the air and the ball was intercepted. It was one of 6 drops that the Broncos had on the game that I counted at least. And it was really a play that changed the momentum, not necessarily in the favor of the Chargers, but really just stopping the Broncos' attack. Because if they score that touchdown, they go 21-0 and they get the ball to start the second half. They ended up tacking on a field goal in that possession. But if the touchdown goes on this one to make it 21-0, it's very easy that the Broncos go down, score again 28-0, and this game is just over. So that was a really huge play that kept San Diego in the game and skewed Peyton Manning's stat line, which really was pretty much flawless if you looked at the way he played, especially the last 2 throws that he made to beat the Chargers, including that incredible throw to Julius Thomas on 3rd and 17. Big-time play from Peyton, big-time game from Peyton. The Patriots, they impressed me against Indianapolis, dominating 43-22, impressed me because they ran for 6 touchdowns, LeGarrette Blount with 4 of them. This is an offense that's had to evolve with all the injuries and missing parts from this passing attack, with Gronk going out and Julian Edelman being your top guy and your rookies being out. It's really fallen on the guys like Stephen Ridley and LeGarrette Blount to come through. And boy, have they. They had a great game against the Colts, who we knew would give up points after giving up 44 the week before to Kansas City. Despite the score 43-22, this was actually a 7-point game, 29-22 in the fourth quarter, before the Patriots went down to get a touchdown, and then Andrew Luck threw his 4th interception on the game. Just a couple thoughts about Luck. You know, obviously he had to force a lot of things with the 4 interceptions. That doesn't look very good, but he made some huge plays, including the 2nd straight week, he threw an absolute perfect bomb, about 50 yards, 60 yards in the air, T.Y. Hilton right on stride for a touchdown in the 3rd quarter to make this a close game. So I'm really not concerned about Andrew Luck. If you look back on it, it's kind of easy to make this comparison considering they're both on the Colts. But you look at Andrew Luck and you think of Peyton Manning a lot of times. You really do. Let's not forget that Peyton Manning, his rookie year, led the league in interceptions. Peyton made a lot of mistakes developing into his player. He still makes some mistakes occasionally. Andrew Luck, I think, is the same, but this guy has a ton of talent and really not many weapons. I think next year when Reggie Wayne comes back, he'll probably be missing a step, given that he'll be another year and his ACL tear, but he's going to be a huge asset. Get this guy a couple weapons in the draft, and I think that Andrew Luck can take this team to the AFC Championship next year. I really do. Speaking of the AFC Championship, let's get back to the game that we had, the Patriots and the Broncos. I have to give the edge to the Denver Broncos here. Peyton Manning has just been too good all year, and the Patriots just have a ton of injuries to overcome, specifically on the defensive side when they have no Spikes and no Wolfork and a hobbled Tlaib, who, even if he's close to 100% and shuts down their best receiver, you have to figure he probably guards Demaryius Thomas most of the time. The Patriots defense relies on Tlaib to shut down the top receiver and then the average defenders to shut down the rest of the team. And that will work against the Colts. That will work against the Chiefs. That's not going to work against the Broncos. If you shut down Demaryius Thomas, and even then, I still think he's probably going to get 4 or 5 catches and have a chance to make some big plays. You still have to account for Eric Decker, Julius Thomas, Wes Welker, Sean Marino out of the backfield. Just so many weapons that Peyton can use. He's not really going to miss Demaryius Thomas if Demaryius Thomas is shut down. And this goes for the same if they choose to put him on it, if they put him on Eric Decker or if they put him on Wes Welker. Whatever they decide to do, Peyton's just going to go for the weaker defender, and he's going to make a lot of plays against them. On the other side of the ball, Tom Brady's going to have to throw for some touchdowns. If you look at last week, I know that the running game was working, so they stuck with that 6 touchdowns. But last week was the 9th time in 17 games that he's played this year that Brady has either thrown 0 or 1 touchdowns. That's just not going to get it done against the Broncos. He's going to have to throw for at least 2 touchdowns, probably 3, take the game over at times. And basically, if he's able to do that, I think that the Patriots can win the game. But it's just going to be so hard for them to slow down Peyton. I think both of these teams are probably going to score in the 30 points. I have the Broncos winning 38-30, which will easily cover the 55.5-point spread. That seems a little low to me. But having said that, a lot of times in these AFC Championship games, the pressure's on early. It very well could be a 0-0 end of first quarter, and then these two teams get going. So I can see the spread, the point spread coming in there. But I think it goes over 55. The Broncos, I think, win this game 38-30, move on to the Super Bowl, and I hope that Peyton gets his second ring and really solidifies himself and his career, because of all the accolades that he has, he still only has one Super Bowl ring, and that's why a lot of people are going to harp on the negative for his career. If he can, this is a great chance for him. As talented as Seattle and San Francisco are, this is a great chance for Manning to get his second ring, and I think he might be able to do it. First step is beating the Patriots this week, which I think they will. Again, my final score, 38-30. Look at the other side, and it's interesting because we start out on Sunday with what should be a shootout between the Broncos and the Patriots. Then you look on the other side, and you have what should be a defensive showdown between the 49ers and the Seahawks. The Seahawks are 3-point favorites right now, and the point spread is ridiculously low, as it should be, only 39 points, and I actually think it's probably going to go under. Let's look back at last week real quick. The Niners-Panthers game pretty much went exactly how I expected it would. I said that I thought the Niners were going to win the area of 23-10, 23-13. They won the game 23-10, and it really wasn't surprising to me. This is the game, and I absolutely love and respect the hell out of Cam Newton and Carolina's defense. These guys are absolute stars in the making, and I think in 2 years they'll be in the Super Bowl probably, 2 to 3 years. This is the kind of game that they don't win their first time around, their first home playoff game. They get the jitters out. The Niners come in, show them who's boss, and they win the game. The veterans, the experience. That's just how it happens in the NFL. So I was not at all surprised by this result. Again, I think in 2 years, Carolina wins this game. But this year, I just didn't see them winning this game, and they didn't. You look on the other side, Seattle and New Orleans. It was kind of a heartbreaker because the Saints kind of hung in there for as long as they could. They really needed a miracle at the end, and Marcus Colston probably had the worst throw that I've ever seen in my life from a receiver or a quarterback. I just don't know what he was doing. Threw it a good 5 to 6 yards forward. I just don't know what was going on there. You step out of bounds, you give Breeze. With 7 seconds, you actually might be able to give Breeze 2 shots, not just one, for the end zone. So I was really surprised with what he did there. But the Seahawks really, really dominated the Saints' offense, which what didn't really surprise a ton of people, considering how well they dominated them the first time they played, and with the weather, 30 miles an hour, rain. It just wasn't a game that a passing team is built for. But if I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm still concerned about this offense, because this game was 13-0 in the second quarter when it should have easily been 24-0. The Saints threw an interception, had a really bad punt. They kept giving the Seahawks chances to blow them out, and it was a 2-possession game at halftime. It just really, it had to be a better performance by the Seahawks offense. Bottom line, it just really did, and it wasn't. And considering that they only scored 23 points against the Saints defense can be great, but can also be pretty porous. It's a boom or bust defense, and porous is not a word you think of when you think of the 49ers defense. They are an absolute, they're stacked at all sides of that defense. Their secondary might be a little suspect, but the front seven is just so good that they make up for some of their faults. So in that sense, you have to be confident, if you're a 49ers fan, that your defense can go out and really dominate what's been a struggling offense for the Seahawks. But you take all these things into consideration. What's interesting is that on paper, the Niners should have a great shot, because Michael Crabtree coming back makes this offense completely different. They have playmakers on the field pretty much everywhere you look. Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore out of the backfield. It's a really talented offense with a quarterback at Kaepernick who's definitely making plays but can also be shaky at times, and that's one of the main reasons why I'm really concerned going into Seattle against this number one passing defense. Kaepernick is probably going to struggle, and he's going to have to be able to run the ball to be effective. We say this every week, and he has been running effectively in the playoffs. You have to give him credit. He's making good plays
with his legs. He's going to have to do it more against Seattle. The problem for me, as much as I love the 49ers offensively and defensively, I think on paper they might actually be a better team than Seattle. On paper. I can't really make a legitimate argument for the Niners when their last two games in Seattle, the Seahawks have outscored them 71-16. 71-16. That is just absolute domination, owning of a team. And how can you really have any confidence with San Francisco knowing that 29-3 earlier this year, that was the final score? Granted, that was without Michael Crabtree, which makes a difference, but the Seahawks just own the Niners in Seattle. The San Francisco barely beat Seattle when they had their home turf. So them going up to Seattle, I just can't find a way to make an argument in my head to give the Niners really a chance. They should be able to, but I just don't see it. If you're looking for a positive, again, for the 49ers, they're third in the league in rushing. And the weakness, and I'm doing air quotes over here, you can't see it, but the weakness for Seattle's defense is the running game. They allow the seventh most rushing yards. Again, that's not really a weakness, but when you consider that they have the number one passing defense, you're going to have to be able to run the ball, and San Francisco is a team that loves to run the ball first. Frank Gore has been kind of beaten up, kind of been showing his age, but he's still a guy who's going to get 15 to 20 carries, and again, Kaepernick is just going to have to run the ball and make some plays there because he's not going to have much room to pass it against that secondary. I wish that Seattle's offense was playing better, and if they were, then I would say there's absolutely no chance for the Niners to win. Because of Seattle's struggles recently on offense, I think that the 49ers have a shot, but I just don't see them getting over the hump against Seattle in Seattle. I think the Seahawks are too good at home, and they win this game 24-17, setting up the Super Bowl that I think all of us really wanted to see. The incredible record-breaking offense of the Broncos and the absolute best defense in the league, the defense for Seattle. What's going to win, offense or defense? I think we all want to see that matchup, and I think it's the matchup we're going to get. I like the Broncos and the Seahawks to make it to the Super Bowl. What do you guys think is going to happen? I really want to hear from you guys. Last week I went 4-0 overall, 3-1 against the spread. The Colts are the one that let me down, so I'm getting back. I'm going to get my picks back. I'm hoping I have some confident picks this week. I think I do. I want to hear what you guys think, who's going to make the Super Bowl, and who do you think is going to win? Let me know, because I'm really curious. So let us know in the comments. Hit us up on Twitter at Sports Invasion. Let us know what you think, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. And I'll definitely be back in a week to do my Super Bowl predictions, so please come back for that. Take it easy, guys, and thanks for listening.